Welcome into the Epicenter, where we're going to continue exploring what does it look like to be the epicenter of the boat. Hey, welcome back into the Epicenter. I'm joined once again by my partner in this, Roswell.
Hey, what's up, man?
Smith.
Thank you for Junior. The intro. Oh, wow. Got the whole thing,
Keith,
man. Crockett. Too good. Yeah, you
got to throw that out. All right.
We're back in the saddle. Let's get it, man.
Let's get it.
Good to be here.
Mm-hmm. Hey, so one of the things we talked about in a previous episode, I'm going here.
Yep.
Is we talked about our walk with Christ being similar to Mario.
Oh, yeah. Super Mario analogies.
And just how, like, the Lord... Man, you start level one,
yep.
And then, you know, you find these little superpowers along the way, or you find, like, all this stuff, but there's, like, when you die, you're redeemed and you get to start over, right?
Yep.
And you pick up in a place and you go and you get to the end, you pull the flag, and then all the music's happy, and then you go to level two,
right.
And it's like, dun-na-na-na-na.
Yep.
Dun-na-na-na-na.
Bigger and badder enemies.
Yep. And so, like, the whole vibe changes, you get into this dark space, and then you go on to level three and level four, and then you start swimming in the land,
right.
You know, or in the water, and you're just like, you're lost, and they have all these superpowers, and you're just human, and you're just trying to navigate, but then you find ways, and you know, all this stuff, and then you get to level 9 and 10, it just gets harder and harder, and so, like, sometimes that's our walk with Christ, and I don't want to stay in level one.
That's right.
I want to move on to level 10, but then you, God showed you something with that, and you went a little deeper, so tell us about that.
To get some context, like, my kid loves Mario. I think he's got, like, a little bit of an old soul in him where all the old video games, he loves them. Mario's one of them. And so we're talking about cheat codes and how, you know, there's a cheat code for every game.
Yeah.
Especially nowadays with the technology, how they do these games now, whether it's Xbox or the PlayStation 5 or 4 or whatever, this Oculus thing, and even the Nintendo Switch, there's cheat codes for all these games. And so
square, triangle, X, right trigger.
That's right. Or, like, you remember the game Contra?
Yeah.
Up, down, BA, BA, select, start. Some of y'all remember that crazy cheat code, right? Yeah, it's kind of engrafted. Those are all core memories, right?
Yeah.
So right now, like, my son is actually in that life stage where he's forming core memories out of, like, video games. And some of this stuff will stick with him until he gets to 40 years old, hopefully. So we talked about cheat codes and how, you know, God is a cheat code. Like, you know, like, God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and, you know, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, his ways, all the verses that speak to God's superpower, right, ability, just who he is. You juxtapose that to the video game, where when you get the cheat code in the video game, you don't want to fight anybody sorry. You want to go right to the last.
Yeah.
Get me to the very last level.
Mike Tyson's punch out. Give me the mic, man.
Give me the coldest, hardest, baddest dude so I can put this cheat code to work.
Yeah.
And so in the same way, that's how God does all throughout scripture. There's a few places where I feel like it really kind of sticks out. Like Job is one. I feel like Moses and the Israelites are one. Yeah. In a minute, we're finna get into that.
Yep.
Moses versus Egypt, right? Versus Pharaoh, where God just shows
biggest,
out.
The baddest man in the land,
but
right?
But here's the thing. This is where I told my son, I said, Jaren, listen, man. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our way. We don't know what he gonna do. We just know that it ain't gonna be nothing weak sauce. It's gonna be the biggest, baddest devil out there.
Yeah.
And that's what God does. Yeah. So I feel like that was an encouragement. Yeah. I think hopefully it encouraged some of y'all that you
God's the cheat code.
Yeah, have the attitude of, hey man, I serve a God who says, bring it on. Give me the baddest one.
Yeah.
And so you wonder why. Now it's funny, but it's not funny. Why are we going through so much? You might ask that question. Why is my life so, even this may be for you. Why has this been so hard? Because God called me to it.
Yeah.
God called you to it, but he's God.
Yeah.
And he can handle it, whatever it is.
Whatever it is. Yeah.
The old saints used to say, hey, my God has never failed. I've never been, quote the verse, I think it's in Exodus maybe or somewhere, OT, but God never forsaken me. I've never seen God fail, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That's the attitude.
Yep.
And we need some of that.
Yep.
Our generation needs some of that.
Like
anchoring, that old anchoring. Yeah, like, hey man, where's that? Where's that, like, brute faith where you like, it ain't gonna shake me?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I stand.
Hey, look.
I stand.
Real. Hey, it's real. It's real, man.
And there were so many times where we're going to get into Moses today.
Right.
We're going to look at our posture of leadership, what's on the outside, but then what also is going on the inside,
right.
Here and here,
yeah.
Right?
Paradox,
and,
yeah.
But man, there's so many times where God or Jesus, he just says, stand, stand. So what does he tell Moses at the beginning before Pharaoh? Go stand before him.
Yeah.
Right. And the crazy thing is like Moses is just a normal dude.
Right.
And I talk about that a lot. Like, I'm just a normal dude.
Yep.
I'm no different than you. I'm no different than you. The only difference I feel like I've got is from just called an average guy or whatever, right?
Right.
It's Holy Spirit in me.
That's right.
And when you carry the presence of God with you.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a whole different deal. And there's this, man, we could go into so much stuff on Old Testament, New Testament.
Right.
All these things about like when you carry the presence of God, we talked about it not long ago whenever they took the Ark of the Covenant and took it before that idol. And what happened? Idol, what does he do?
Yeah. Just somehow the thing just fell over and broke into two pieces overnight.
Yep.
Nobody in there.
Head cut off.
But God's presence, right.
God's presence.
That's right.
And so we got to know that we carry that. And I think sometimes we forget we get so busy or we get so just all the things going on that we just forget the power that we carry.
Yep.
And it's his presence.
Yeah.
It's not the knowledge. It's the presence in us that allows us to do things. And he opens doors that we can't deny.
Right.
So
it's good.
So I was reading recently and I want to go here. It's Exodus 14.
Exodus 14.
Yep. I'm going to start. So Pharaoh, to give a little backstory, Pharaoh's let him go.
Yep.
And then they're out in the wilderness. They're going, right?
Right.
And here they come, and they're coming up to the Red Sea.
Mm-hmm.
And so in verse 3, it says, Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And then verse 4 says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart. He says this over and over.
Yep. He does.
I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord.
Right.
So the Israelites did this. So they go on. So like God is declaring, he's actually talking to Moses in this instance, right? So that's what verse 1 says. And the Lord said to Moses.
Mm-hmm.
So he's telling him things, and he says, I'm gonna harden Pharaoh's heart.
Yeah, it's good.
You've already seen me harden Pharaoh's heart.
Right.
And you've seen the work that I did, right? Well, then I got to verse 13. And what happens right before verse 13 is that all the Israelites see Pharaoh and his army coming.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they start freaking out. And in verse 11, they said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die?
Mm.
What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert.
Wow.
And what's crazy is these people are celebrating as they're leaving, right? And it's just like, man, it's just the emotions that we just go through as human beings.
Absolutely,
And like when we come up against a barricade or we come up against something, it's just like, it's over.
Even the mentality of, you know, the verse says we would have been better. It would have been better for us. Like, you don't know what's best for you.
Come on,
God
man.
Knows what's best for you, you know? But it's the mentality that we carry, man. Yeah. When we face adversity, we feel like, oh man, this is ridiculous.
Here we go.
Why
am I doing this?
Where did I mess up? And not even realizing, here's the part, and you can continue on with us. You're finna preach in a minute. But this attitude, this mentality that a lot of Christians carry, we all go through it, of doubting.
Woe is me.
And leaning on our own understanding.
Yeah.
You know, that produces statements like, it would have been better if.
Yeah.
And so I feel like there's a whole lot, man, with that. And we ought to grow. And I think now I say this carefully. I have a strong opinionated belief and conviction that we should grow up from that at some point.
Yeah.
There should be a level of our faith where we say, you know what, man, I don't believe that my way is better.
Yeah.
To the point to where you don't even respond. You just sit back and go, okay, God, I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to sit back and let you do what you do.
back to Mario real quick. Just thinking about this, like as you go to these higher levels, what you're talking about is you should build confidence. There should be confidence that you've seen, I know how to defeat that.
Right.
I know how to overcome that.
Right.
I know how to,
right.
Like we should have this confidence.
Yep.
Now we come up against new things, But we should have confidence from what we've seen before.
Yeah.
And that's where so much like God, he would tell us, Jacob in particular, I remember this, he's like, build a monument, build an altar right here.
Right.
So that every time you come back to this place, you remember I did a work.
That's good.
And I think sometimes we just get, as humans, and I'm going to tell you right now, today, like, this is something that I battle on the daily.
Right.
Is, golly, Lord, why am I facing this? Yeah. Why am I going through this? Why? Mm-hmm. And we're going to get to a verse at the end of this that the Lord showed me, and goodness gracious, it has changed my posture.
Right.
It's changed my heart attitude. And it's a verse that is so ingrained in my mind that I taught our third grade boys, flag football team, this verse, and all of them can recite it. And it's four verses, but we'll get to it here in a little bit.
Yeah, let's go.
But all right, so verse 13. So these people are grumbling, right?
Yep.
And Moses is the leader.
Yep.
He's the dude.
Yep.
Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you.
Yeah.
You need only to be still."
Yeah.
So, you know, probably one of the greatest leadership from a biblical perspective, things that could have been said.
Right.
Like, this dude from the outside is just oozing the Lord.
Right.
He's like, man, stand firm. Don't move.
Right.
The Lord will fight your battle for you.
Yeah, bro, make a plan. Yep.
And like, dude, it's like, all right, let's go. You know, and the Lord says in scripture, I don't know exactly where it is, but be still and know that I am God.
Yep.
Be still and know that I am God.
Right.
So this dude is like, he's bringing the heat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's trying to build confidence in these people, but it's the next verse that got me.
Mm-hmm.
And the next verse says, then the Lord said to Moses, after he said this, verse 15, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? And I just began to like really think about putting myself in Moses' shoes. And I've just said one of the best things I can say on the outside, on the outer.
Right.
But what we see here is a glimpse of the inner.
Yeah.
That internally Moses is losing his mind, right? Like he sees everything against him.
Oh, yeah.
He sees the Red Sea. He sees Pharaoh coming from behind.
Yep.
Yep. And he thinks this has got to be it.
Yeah.
This is where it ends.
Yeah.
But like,
almost like faith is kind of slipping almost.
It's slipping.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's crying out and he's like, he's out externally. He's got this posture of like, God's going to win. God's going to fight for you. You just be still.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
But internally, this man is a mess.
Yeah, it's wrestling. Yeah.
And like, how many of us are that way?
Oh, yeah, bro.
Every day, like from a leadership perspective in your business and your family and all these things, like you're saying the right things. Your posture is right, but internally, it's a mess.
Yeah.
And that's something that I battled, and I believe the Lord took me here.
Yeah, bro.
Because I relate a lot to Moses.
Yep, we all battle it, yeah.
And I think if I relate, I think you relate.
Mm-hmm.
I think B.O.B. relates. I think all of us internally, we're attacked by the enemy. Romans 8:6 says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace.
Right.
And so what are we allowing up here to happen, right? Are we focused on the flesh? Are we focused on what we see? Or are we allowing the Holy Spirit to govern?
Mm-hmm.
And I may have said this before, but it's worth repeating. Govern, I call myself a word nerd.
That's right.
So govern.
Word nerd. That's
word
good.
Nerd.
That's good.
So govern, my mom was a librarian and an English teacher. So
it's in DNA, bro.
Yeah,
you dig
into words.
That's awesome.
And so govern means to exercise continuous sovereign authority. To exercise continuous sovereign authority. So whatever we give right here, continuous sovereign authority, is it the flesh or is it Holy Spirit?
Right.
And then sovereign means supreme ruler.
Yep.
So do I give a supreme ruler in the Holy Spirit continuous authority over this?
Right.
That brings life and peace.
Yes.
And so I love that Moses is sitting there saying all the right things, and then he just absolutely internally is losing his mind. Like, Lord, did I hear you right?
Right.
Lord, are you going to show up?
All those questions.
Lord, are you? This is all going on internally. And God says to him, why are you crying out to me?
Yeah, when you read that verse, the average person, the average reader, the average reading, you know, situation, the verse almost like doesn't make any sense. It's like, why would God respond with that?
Yeah.
And I think what you're pointing at is here's why God responds in that way.
Yeah.
Because God's seeing it, what's going on in the inside.
Yeah.
Everybody else sees the outside, which, you know, that's
on the
good.
Outside, the house is all going. Boy,
yeah, it's cool.
Oh, that takes me to Matthew 7.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Is it Matthew 7? No, Matthew 23. I'm sorry. Matthew 23. The seven woes. That's where I was going. The seven woes. And he looks at the Pharisees and he says, you're a bunch of whitewashed tombs.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
On the outside, you look beautiful, but on the inside, you're full of nothing but dead bones.
Dead bones. Yeah, Paul references the same thing. Yeah. I mean, yeah, man. This is heavy. It's a picture of a lot of the modern day Christian.
Yeah.
A lot of what we see in the Western, you know, Christian culture. I heard a guy say, when you juxtapose the way the church looks here versus over the parts of the world, man, it's a very different, it's a very different, like, you get a very different picture. And like, why is that? Well, it's because they are, you know, different reasons why, but the main one is, man, their faith is tested at every front. Francis Chan, I think, has his most recent book out where he says something along the lines and the effect of we are in this Christian society so just, I think the word is like comfortable.
Yeah.
And it produces an apathy and it produces this like, which ultimately, you know, leads to a lack of faith.
Yeah.
Belief.
Yeah.
And seeing God, but also too, we're surrounded by so much of the Christendom. Mm-hmm. Music, podcasts, you know, everything you can think of. Big churches, man, productions, right?
Yep.
So on the outside, oh man, they go to church, check box.
Yeah.
Christian music, check box. Christian podcasts on my, you know, iPod or whatever, check box. But then on the inside, man, there's stuff that we're not really, you know, anchoring our faith in.
Yeah.
So there's a lot there, man.
So what I love is God questions him, why are you crying out to me? Have you not seen everything that I've done?
Right.
Do you not remember the 10 plagues that I brought?
Yeah, man.
Do you not remember the Passover? Do you not remember?
Right.
Do you not remember that I hardened Pharaoh's heart back there? And I'm going to do it again?
Right.
But I'm going to do it because I want the glory. I'm going to gain glory for myself.
Come on,
man.
So
that you can pass this on to a generation, to generation, to generation.
Right.
So that they can see the goodness of who I am.
Yeah, man.
Why are you crying out to me?
Right.
I promised you already. I already told you at the beginning of this chapter is how I'm going to say it right now because I can't find the right words. But in verse 1, I've already told you. And in verse 3, I've already told you what I'm going to do.
Right. Right.
Why do you question me?
Right.
Why do you cry out?
Yeah.
But here's what I love about this. It's like a good father, he doesn't just leave him and say, man, I'm done with you. He corrects him, and he tells him, tell the Israelites to move on.
Yeah.
Now, how are they going to move on? They got a sea in front of them, and they got Pharaoh coming
enemies,
behind
them. Yeah, enemies behind you, yeah.
How are you gonna move on? Boy, watch what I do.
That's right.
Raise your staff. Stretch out your hand over the sea, divide the water.
Cheat code. Right there, yep.
What was the cheat code? Up, up, down, what?
Oh, he's talking about it. Contra, up, oh man. Up, up, down, down, BA, select, start.
There it is. Raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground.
Right.
Here he goes again. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen.
Yeah.
When God tells you something, he will say it over and over. He says it over and over.
And it's how he says it too.
I will gain glory.
I will gain glory. There's a point that you were going to make on leadership posture, which I think is powerful. But before you do that, this whole like chapter verse, this whole segment reminds me of something that I want to pass on to the listeners. And it's an encouragement. You know, we forget and have sometimes spiritual amnesia. It happens. But just think of it from this standpoint. We need to remember God's body of work as it pertains to our life, right? So you want to be judged on the body of your work, not one-offs, right? Mm-hmm. Don't judge me on the one-off, which, by the way, God never has missed.
Yeah, never.
There are no one-offs with God. No. That's the first thing. We have one-offs and mistakes that are made, but God doesn't have one-offs.
Yep.
He's been consistent our entire, even when we didn't know him, he was consistent, which is a whole different direction. But I'm trying to say is that the body of work is what we need to remember. What is God's body of work been as it pertains to me and you, right? And individually, man, like, what has he done for us? How's he showing up? And when you remember the body of work, that's the first place you ought to turn to when you face a season or a situation that's very adverse, right? Something that's very, this is kind of dark. This doesn't look very good, right? What's God's body of work? Doesn't fail, doesn't know how to fail, doesn't miss. Okay, boom. Let's go from there.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Because there's a lot of real, you know, like patchy belief and, you know, viewpoints of who God is. And even I say this from my own life, looking at the last few years, man, God's shown up every season, man. He's not missed.
Yeah.
I've missed up. I've misheard some stuff, but ultimately it's the body of work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's and the even, body of work. But here's the beauty of when you misstep, he's got grace.
Right.
And we won't talk about it today, but one of my favorite redemption stories in all the Bible is Aaron. And boy, that dude misstepped.
Wow. Yeah.
He misstepped bad.
Made mistakes, yeah.
And then he doesn't even own it. Right. He's like, this golden calf, it just came out. Well, before that, it tells him he had chiseled it. You know, like it specifically says that he chiseled.
Yeah, bro. Right?
Like, I mean, that takes some time.
Lord have mercy.
He's like, man, it just came out. And he doesn't own his sin, right? But God redeems that man, and he becomes him and his lineage.
Right.
Throughout all the Old Testament is the only one who can enter into the presence of God.
Yeah.
They're the only one. They're the high priest.
Right. Ain't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So like
you
can't, this is what I've come to. You can't screw up. If God has a plan written for your life, even though you screw it up and the world wants to cancel you or you want to cancel yourself,
you can't,
there's nothing you can do when God has a plan written for your life.
Come on.
And so back to God doesn't miss, I thought of Isaiah 55, 8, 9, and 10, but 11, all that right there. For my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Yes, sir.
Neither are your ways my ways. You said it earlier.
Yep.
As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish.
Yeah.
So that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty.
Amen.
But will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it out.
Right, right.
So let's look at Moses, one of the great leaders of all time, right?
Yes, sir.
And this man and God comes to him. He says, why are you crying out to me? I've already told you. My word does not return back to me void.
Right.
It will not come back to me empty. But we'll go out to fulfill the purpose for which I sent it out.
Amen. Yes, sir.
The purpose for which I gave you this word is to gain me glory through Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. Why are you crying out?
Right.
Haven't you seen? Don't you know? And I think so many leaders, we have to put on this front. We have to put on this verse 13 front.
Right.
That says, man, you got to do this. You got to do this. You got to, all right. Hey, if you do this, man, just be still. Mm. Man, just trust. But internally, we're dying inside. Mm-hmm. And so the last place I want to go today is 1 Thessalonians 5,
yes, sir.
16 through 19. And in it, I always joke like for today's my last day in my 30s. Tomorrow I turn 40.
Oh, shucks.
And so
happy birthday.
So yeah.
Come on, man.
Appreciate that.
40 years old.
Yeah, 40 years old.
The big 4-0, yes, sir.
So I tell people, everybody always sees it as this bad thing, like you're going over the hill and death and everybody wears black, whatever.
Yeah,
but
it's
I'm
not
like,
that. Nah, bro.
I'm like, bro, like I've just been wandering for 40 years.
Whew.
And I'm going over the hill into the promised land.
Right.
You know
what?
Right. Yeah. So
it's a belief with a lot of men now. Hey, 40 is when it all starts to get really good.
When it starts to begin, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so for 39 years, I believe the shortest verse in the Bible, do you know what it is?
I do not. Educate us, man. Educate us.
All right, so Jesus wept. Oh, if you talk to a lot of Christians, like, they'll say the shortest verse in the Bible, like common knowledge
is bro.
Jesus wept. That's
it's also the shortest prayer before you eat a meal. Jesus wept, amen.
Come on,
we
man.
Used to pray that, bro.
Did you really?
Yeah, before we ate when I was a kid, man. Whole different talk. Isn't that crazy?
That was the prayer.
I want to eat fast. So mom said, just say this one then. Jesus wept. Amen. Isn't that wild? I know, bro.
You wouldn't survive.
Not a clue. Bro, not a clue what I was praying.
I don't even know what to say right now.
I know, right?
That's fantastic. Hey,
that's
all
too
right.
real.
All right, yeah, yeah. Jesus
yes, sir,
all right,
bro.
So there's actually two more verses in the Bible that are two-word verses.
Yep.
And I never knew it. The first one is 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always.
Yes, sir.
The second verse mm-hmm. is pray continually.
Yep. Yep.
Two-word verses.
Man.
That I think the devil has convinced us that the shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. Is it powerful? Sure, it shows us humanity. But I like these better.
Yes, sir.
Because it's a command to us. Yeah. It's something that we need to do no as doubt. Followers of Christ. So rejoice always. Mm-hmm. Pray continually.
Yeah.
Give thanks in all circumstances. Mm-hmm. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then this is the key, I think. And I've seen those three verses. It was the verse of the day, verse of the day the other day on the Bible app, right? Okay. But I look at things differently from an author's perspective. Like when somebody's writing something, it doesn't, mm-hmm. not even necessarily an author, but Paul's writing, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you write, things come to you, right? And you get kind of a boom, an aha moment or whatever.
Right.
I think Paul gets an aha moment when he says those three things, rejoice always, pray continually,
yep.
give thanks in all circumstances, do not quench the spirit.
That's right.
Do not quench the spirit. The fire that burns in you.
Yes, sir.
The way that you keep it burning and lit is you don't take this posture of, where are you, Lord? What are you doing? Why is this going on? What's happening internally? While externally, right. you say all the right things.
Mm-hmm.
Internally, you got to be rejoicing always.
Yeah,
praying good. Continually.
There's the answer right there.
Giving thanks in yeah. all circumstances. And when you do that, mm-hmm. you don't quench the spirit.
Right. Right.
And it's this powerful. So God led me to Exodus 14 because I'm Moses, man. Like externally I say all the right things. Internally, mm-hmm. I've been this just like
right.
vicious, like it was a daggum storm going
sure.
on. Why yep. is this happening? What's going on? And we've been through some challenging times.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you've
yeah.
been witness to it.
Yeah, yeah.
All the changes that we've had in Tugger mm-hmm. Built Homes, Orange Theory,
yep.
you name it, like everything's it's just been a challenge.
Yeah, a lot of curveballs, man.
And so how do you
all at one moment?
So how do you find this place of rejoicing always, mm-hmm. praying continually,
right.
giving thanks in every circumstance. Think about that for a minute. How yeah. do you give thanks when everything's all in chaos
yeah,
and there's
man.
A dead end in front of you and there's enemies behind you?
Right, right.
And you glorify the Father.
Yeah.
And when you glorify the Father, Holy Spirit ignites and
yeah.
we don't quench that and we don't quench the Spirit in us. And it changes our posture and we no longer cry out in fear, but we cry out in praise.
Mm-hmm.
And it just began to change my heart.
Yep.
And so now this verse, it's one of my key verses
well,
every day.
Also, too, there's the element of being still.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's kind of where
Come
I
on.
Lean. It mentions in there, you know,
yep.
be still, man.
Yep.
Stand or stand still, whatever,
yeah.
however
well,
you want to say it.
He says it too. He says, be still and know, be still for the Lord is going to fight your battle.
Yeah, yeah. He gave several commands
yeah.
in the Old Testament around stillness.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, because somebody, he said stand still. Well, okay, you know, be still,
yeah.
stand still.
Yeah.
The point of it is that there's a posture. There we go.
It's posture.
Which, I mean, that's powerful that God showed you that. But it's this posture thing is huge, man. It's the thing you could be judged off your posture, man. If you're not careful, mm-hmm. you can be misunderstood off your posture. I'm talking about with people. You know, like, yeah, he's got it together. That's outside, but on the inside, mm-hmm. I'm going through some stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
It works both ways, but this, where God sees us and he looks at us, it's the stillness that he's looking after, okay? Even if you don't shout praises and songs, which that's coming, but in the middle of it,
yeah,
man, you know what? Just stand still. I got you.
Stand still.
Just stand still. Like a good father, right?
Yeah.
Hey, man, just chill out, you know?
Chill out.
Just
yeah.
chill, you know, like Geneva and Jaren, my kids, you got three of them, I got two. They get into it. They have scuffles in the house.
Yeah.
Every kid goes through that,
yeah.
every siblings. Hey, my first response to Geneva, because she gets all riled up. Hey, just chill out. Just chill out, right?
Just chill
kinda,
out.
It kind of comes out of me, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to mitigate the fight and the damages that are happening.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get, you know, her to calm down. And that's the nature of God. Just be still. Just stand still. Let me do my work.
Yeah.
Because when we don't stand still, when we do the opposite, when we go and talking and yelling and complaining, we're just heaping more doubt and heaping more of the things that we don't need, that the situation does not need. What the moment needs is for you to be still.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that he can do
the work.
The impossible, which is opening up the Red Sea.
The cheat code,
man. It's crazy.
I really didn't even know that when we introed that, this is where we were headed. And it was going to be a theme through the whole thing.
Because, I mean, it's one of those moments. It's all through Scripture, bro.
It is.
We can't escape it. Because these are just two examples. But Jesus, right? New Testament. Crazy. The Bible says, I'm not sure which gospel records this, but people don't realize, man, Jesus disappeared one time. Right out of thin air.
Yeah, yeah. They were going to push him over the cliff.
If the kid, hey, look, gone. I don't know how it looked. Yeah. If I could get the camera, I would show y'all how I think it looked. I don't have enough space, but I think Cat just turned around and was like, yo, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Like, this stuff is in the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay. Walking on the water.
Yeah.
I saw an inner a claymation like movie on this not too long ago. Of Jesus getting out, this boat rocking, it was powerful. And it just kind of takes you into the moment, like to see what a sea looks like in a storm.
Yeah.
Right? What a boat looks like in a storm. And it's crazy. And the Bible says Jesus was just sitting there, he was reclining back, sleep, taking a nap while the disciples are going crazy. And so they going nuts. And then all of a sudden they start screaming and crying out, we're finna die.
Yeah.
He wakes up and say, and the claymation is powerful. He walks out to the front of the boat, looks at them. And just puts his hand out in the sea, cheat code. And then what do they say? What kind of man is this that even the sea and the waves obey him? Just keep on going, bro. We ain't got enough time.
Yeah.
You got stories. I mean, all these stories. Yeah. And then obviously the ultimate cheat code is the cross, which is the blood in the gospel, right? That's where we crux our faith on, is this idea of Jesus resurrecting from death, right?
Yeah.
It's powerful, man. Yeah. It's powerful.
Yeah.
So I just think there's something too, man. Posture, stillness, leadership posture. That's a posture of a good leader, right? The biggest dog in the room isn't always, most of the time, is not the loudest dog in the room. It's the one that's kind of back there chilling.
Yep.
But he's handling his business. He's just quiet. He's still, right?
Yep.
Chaos all around. No, I'm just going to keep it. I'm going to keep it moving.
Yeah. Yep.
It's powerful.
I love it, man. I think, you know, as we wrap this one up, I think it's not an either or, it's a both and.
Hey, there you go.
It's a both and.
Yeah.
It's both the external that says, be still, know the Lord is going to fight for you. The things that are coming out of you, whatever comes out of a man, right?
Man, yeah. Yeah.
It's that, but it's also internal. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. So as I was going through, man, we've been going through it, man. I don't like firefighting. And in construction, we got to firefight a lot, you know? And we got to do all these things, and we got deadlines, and we got all these. And, man, there's times where I just feel sorry for, golly, man, why do I got this going on? Why do I got to do all this? You know, and I went back and I looked at my phone, and the amount of text messages and notifications I sent that day, it was crazy. It was crazy. Huh. And I wanted to pout for myself. I wanted to question God, why are you doing this? Why are you taking me through this?
Yeah.
And then he just reminded me, hey, rejoice always.
Yep.
Pray continually.
Yep.
Know that I take you through the furnace of affliction.
Yeah, he's leading you, man.
Why?
Yeah.
For my own sake. For my own sake, I do this. I will not let myself be defamed. I will not yield my glory to another. It's not about our glory.
That's right.
It's about his glory. Mm-hmm. He made that clear to Moses
at
the beginning of Exodus 14. It's for my glory that I'm going to do this.
Yeah, bro.
And so how do we do this? But then the next day, my posture changed.
That's right.
And as I'm making this phone call that I don't want to make, I'm like, Lord, thank you that I get to make this phone call.
Hmm.
I rejoice in you. Right. I take this before you right now, and I give thanks that I get to make this call.
That's right.
And what does it do? It ignites Holy Spirit in us.
That's right.
And we begin to see differently. We begin to posture differently,
bro.
And stand differently.
That's it.
And you
pointed out something really powerful.
And it's a daily battle. Real quick. It's a daily battle.
It is. Well, what you're saying though, that's the thing, is it's a grind. the nitty gritty of being a Christ follower. And here's the part that'll free a lot of people. A lot of people, man, who don't trust the church, don't trust Jesus, all this stuff, the Bible, and there's so many different things, so many lies out there, false narratives about what a Christian is. Man, God allows us space to question situationally. Hey, what's going on? Because we're just human. Mm-hmm. It's human experiences. Mm-hmm. But it's where we get into we start casting doubt and all this the negativity that so many of us, we just start casting negativity. It's like the Lord is too, he's done too much. He's mm-hmm. done too much. He's too good. He's too holy for us to cast negativity and doubt like that at his feet. That's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Instead of casting mm-hmm. praise and glory, you cast some foolishness at his feet.
Yeah.
That's really what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with it. Okay, God, like, oh, that's why? Like, what's that? Like, why are we going through that again? Like,
yeah.
And really wrestling with it.
What are you teaching me?
Yeah, what's going on? What is this, man? Like, so many stories, man. My time in ministry was crazy, man. I spent almost 15 years in ministry. And the stories, the things that I witnessed, that I saw, it's like, yo, man, that's wild. Like, why? Why are we doing this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But always, I try to veer away from the negativity.
Yeah.
Because I think by my DNA, if y'all know me, I'm actually like a realist, but I'm a positive, I'm an optimistic
yeah.
realist.
Yeah. Yep.
I believe in real talk, but I would never ever fall on the side of negativity. I just won't do it. Honestly, that's not how I believe. It's not how I'm wired.
Yeah.
Which enables me to do what I do, right?
Yep.
To do what we do.
Yep.
I think you're wired in a similar fashion. Similar. Not quite the same, but similar. But there's a point of it where we gotta really grow up past our default being negativity and mm-hmm. doubt and worrying mm-hmm. and anxiety mm-hmm. and hey, hold on.
What does Jesus say? He says, don't worry about tomorrow.
Man.
For today has enough trouble of its own.
Yep.
But take heart, I've overcome the world.
Yeah.
Right. So like, dude, why do we worry? Why do we doubt? Yeah. Why do we fear? Why do we? And I'm not a just positive man. Power your way through things, you know, on our own power, on our own abilities, on our own everything. Nah, he's God. We're not. So let him do the work. Be still. Do what Moses said.
Man.
And take this posture that says, man, I'm just going to rejoice in this moment because, God, you're good.
Hey, God, just drop this on me. Just real time. He said, cast all your cares. What? He said, on me.
On me.
Not at me. Mm. Don't throw it. Don't throw negativity and all this stuff. Don't throw it at me. Cast them on me.
Yeah.
Because I care for you.
Yeah.
Other words, like, as you work through negativity and work through struggle, work through pain, work through frustration, work through missed expectations or missed what you think might be an unfulfilled promise, whatever that is, man, like, just lay it on the Lord. Like, hey, man, I can't do this.
Yeah.
You know, versus the negativity and all the words and, you know, cussing and screaming and all the stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's a different way. It's a better way.
Yep.
It's a better way.
There's a better way.
No doubt.
So as we wrap this thing up, man, I think that's, you know, I think that sums it up.
Amen.
I think this is where we got to land, and we got to take this posture of saying the right things, mm-hmm. but also in our heart and in our mind, believing the truth of who Jesus says he is and who God says he is and the promise of Holy Spirit.
No doubt.
And so as you guys go out, man, as you go through these challenging times, as things are difficult or they're hard to overcome or whatever,
right,
man, continue saying the right things, right? But you got to believe it internally. You got to know inside. And man, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And do not quench the Spirit.
Amen.
And Jesus wept. Amen.
Amen. Let's go eat. Hey, all right.
Y'all have a great day. Go out. Be the epicenter of the boom. If you liked what you heard today on The Epicenter, be sure and click that subscribe button down below and click the bell so that you're notified whenever we drop new content. Also, be sure to connect with us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram, and know that you can find all of our episodes on your favorite platform, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Now go out, be the epicenter of the boom.